This is the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Come get your hands dirty while we learn the nitty-gritty of leading others the way Jesus did. This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. My name is Chad Norris. They call me Coach around here. I'm a lead pastor. I actually lead more like a coach. I just love being around people and helping them reach their potential, really, in whatever the Father's called them to do. When I was born on the earth, I was born to a football coach. That's all I ever knew. I was depressed about 10 years ago, and I said to the Father one day, I love serving you, but I wish, I wish I could have coached. And he said, you are and you will. So I'm here with Andy Stone, another coach on staff. Andy's married to Anwen, got three kiddos, Caleb, Toby, Ellie, moved here from Great Britain 2 years ago. Isn't that right?
Correct. Yeah.
We celebrated the two-year anniversary of you landing over here. And it was in this room, actually, I guess about 5 years ago, I'm bad with time, that I saw you standing in that doorway right there, and I prophesied. I said, I see you moving here. You're going to join the team. So tell our Coach and Joe audience who you are, what you've been up to here locally leading out in the house here.
Yeah, I've been a pastor for 17 years, worked in two different churches before coming here. And when I first came here, yeah, it was 5 years ago in November, walked into your office and you said, I think we're supposed to work together. And my initial thought was, wow, crazy American. But actually what happened was every single thing that you saw in that moment, suddenly the Father began to open doors. It was quite a journey.
Yep.
Waiting to come over here, sorting out visas, building relationship, trying to work out, okay, Father, is this you? This is not just somebody giving me a word, but is this you? And he showed it was. And so, yeah, we landed October 2018, and we've been on staff pastoring the adult ministries.
I was talking to Brian Fannin earlier, and basically this is how it works. Fannin's creative director here at Coach and Joe Studios. God will call somebody to something. They never see it coming. A bunch of stuff goes wrong. There's discomfort. He'll put something in your path for you to overcome. You overcome it. God called you an overcomer. And then you're like, man, that did not go as smooth as I thought it would off that prophetic word.
He loves to see us overcome, which means we have to have something to overcome.
I watched Lord of the Rings the other day for the 400th time, and I get something out of it, different out of it every time. It was the first movie. And Gandalf shows up, and Bilbo's scared to death. It's pretty much that way with us. God will come knocking on our door, call us to something, and then we shake like a leaf. He uses broken people to accomplish whatever he's called us to. And then we always say the same thing, though, 4 or 5 years down the road. Man, I didn't see it going that way.
Right.
Robert Morris, lead pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, I heard him say recently, basically who they started with, that's not who they're with now. The promised land becomes visible as we walk. You know what God's looking for in a leader, Andy, in my opinion? Just for someone to be vulnerable enough to take the fig leaves off, or as you say in Great Britain, figgy knickers. What the heck are those things?
Well, we have a few different words to ones you use. So when we say pants, we actually mean underwear. So that can be embarrassing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway... We were talking about it one day in the mod, and it literally is what Adam created to cover himself when he was in that place of shame. It said that there were fig leaves that he grabbed hold of. I mean, that must have been quite interesting. What did that look like to grab hold of that? Was it the nearest bush? I'm naked right now.
Well, let's go there. So this is a podcast designed for leaders, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to help leaders learn how to coach, not about vulnerability, but from a place of vulnerability. Yep. Here's what I've seen in 24 years of leadership. A lot of people hide behind intellectual capital, specifically leaders.
Yes.
And they want to be brilliant in whatever area of expertise they're in. But yet many leaders lead from a place of no vulnerability. What the heck is vulnerability, and why does it matter to a leader, Andy?
The Father invites us into an intimate relationship with him. And the reality of how he relates to us is that he doesn't want us to put things in the way of that relationship. And We so often do that. We're taught to do that in life. We're, you know, from a young age, it's like, how do you perform? Did you perform well at school? And then we'll give you an A. And then you can be a good citizen. You know, did you do well in sport? Well, in that case, a lot of the school are going to really like you because you earned something. You were great. And that becomes and forms something of your identity. And actually, the Father wants to love all of us. It's not just about our achievements. It's not what we present to other people. It's who we are that He loves.
The definition of vulnerability in the dictionary is the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. What I'm noticing about people who are not very vulnerable, it's not because they're terrible people.
Right.
Very rarely is that the case. Yeah. You know what it is? We don't want to be hurt.
Yes.
So today I had a meeting with 6 leaders on staff. And instead of talking about vulnerability, I just led from a place of vulnerability. So I took our tool that we use here to make disciples.
Yep.
Our tool is really simple. It's a circle. It's got 3 words. One is vulnerability. The other one is surrender. And the other one's grit. Yep. We have found that there's 3 really good ways to connect with God. Vulnerability, take your fig leaves off, and then just surrender the outcome. Just be just totally laid down. Luke 9:23. Just lay down the Father, lay down disciple, deny yourself. And then 3, be willing to do the uncomfortable work, which is grit. But that first step, usually it's the first step in a journey that's the hardest.
Yes.
Remember Bilbo, he's like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then Frodo's like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And they finally leave the Shire. Leaving the Shire might be 90% of the battle.
Yep.
You know what I mean? What do I mean when I say that?
You're stepping out of the safe place, the things that you know. You're going into territory that's unknown. So it is that literal journey of walking into the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen to me right now.
Unknown, but yet that's who God is. Talk about this from the perspective of Genesis 12 with Abram. He comes to Abram and says, go to the land in which I will show you. Why is the unknown the recipe for great transformation?
It allows us to really trust, or it shows where we are on that trust journey. So the reality of how the Father leads us is He often doesn't show us things. He doesn't show us, okay, put your foot here and then it will definitely work. He actually called Abraham out of something that he knew really well. He knew the land really well. He knew the covenant relationships around him.
Comfort.
Comfort. He knew how to interact with a different tribe so he could stay safe. He knew how to farm best in that place. And then he hears this invitation from God, go to a land that I will show you. Yeah. Well, what's the farming going to be like there? What's it going to be like in terms of the intertribal relations? Am I going to get killed? Is somebody going to take my bride and all my family? You know, this is hostile territory that he's going into, and it requires trust. Do I trust this person that's telling me to step out and do something new? I don't know. There's only one way I'm going to find out. I'm going to actually step out. It feels scary. But in that, will he show me who he is?
So if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that you're a leader, either desiring to become a leader. I don't think any great leaders are born, by the way. We have to grow to be a leader. As you lead other people up the mountain of God, Psalm 24, I can tell you one predictable pattern. Whoever you're leading, whenever they get comfortable where they are and they're settling in, it's ripe territory for the Father to show up and say, why don't we go on an adventure? One of my good friends here, someone that I've been leading for a couple of years now, his name is Brian Fannin. And I love Fannin because we have a lot in common in terms of wanting to go on an adventure. And I prophesied from stage about a week ago in one of our prayer sessions to Brian, you got to be careful when you call out to go on an adventure, because a lot of times what you crave, God will call you on. But here's what God, Andy, I'm going to say this is as predictable as death and taxes. I've never seen him call anyone to something that's comfortable or easy.
Right.
It's the biblical narrative.
Yeah.
Leadership 101. Your vulnerability with the Father is great, but just know on the other side of you taking your fig leaves off, the next step is, oh my gosh, I'm heading into the desert with the devil. This is not what I saw coming. Yeah. Remember Abba with Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Next passage, he's led into the desert. Why is it, Andy, that surrender always follows vulnerability? What's going on here?
Well, in that in that place of vulnerability, what we're actually needing to do is trust someone else other than us to establish us. And right. and that's what happened for Jesus. Jesus asking the question, am I going to trust me to turn this rock into bread? Or am I going to trust the Father who is my provider, who's actually going to give me what I need?
Is that the whole purpose down here? We're just trusting him moment by moment, day by day. You've walked this out.
Yep.
How did this play out for you with the visa process? I mean, because you had some shaking in your britches moments.
Well, we got to a point where we were convinced this was the Father. We had so many confirmations that we were supposed to move that we actually began to talk to our leaders. Now, we're leaders in the church. When you start to talk to leaders in the church about, I think the Father's calling me on, that starts to shift how they see you because they know, oh, our time with you is coming to an end. So they begin to change how they're working. So we knew once we told them that, our time is done here. We have an end point coming. And we began that process of communicating with them, probably because we were pretty sure that this was the Father. Unfortunately, the way the Father wanted to play it was that he wanted to play it more slowly than us. And so was it right that we were coming here? 100%. Did we have the timing right? No. What he actually did was that he made it way longer than we thought it was going to be. So we finished in the April, and then we had a full 6 months with no salary, with a house that we'd already bought on the other side of the pond that I was paying two mortgages on. It felt absolutely ridiculous. It was a crazy time. And yet, in that every day, Father, are we moving today to America? Or did we get all of this wrong? And have I got to go and get on a job list and find out where we're going next? Every day, it took us into a place of dependence. Mm. And he came through so significantly that he not only provided for us in that 6 months where we had no salary, he paid the whole thing there. He also gave us enough money so that we could get over here, buy new cars, transition into a new country. We literally had to buy new beds, all of those things. He gave us every single thing we needed. But we live day to day thinking, are we moving? Are we not moving?
I think that's normal Christianity. I think there are a lot of people who believe they're born again. They're not. They prayed a prayer so you don't have to go to hell. The truth is, the biblical narrative is follow me.
Yes.
Well, you started following God. By the way, it's fascinating. The same God of Abraham.
Yep.
So in Genesis 12, same God. Hey, Andy, pick up your stuff and your land and what you're used to, and you're going to talk really funny compared to where they're going, and they're going to talk funny. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that visa, it's going to be a miracle if you get it. And it's going to be a lot like Michael wrestling with the angels, Daniel, 21 days, and it's going to be bumpy. I remember giving you a word when I was over there. This is going to be bumpy. But here's what I'm trying to say. If it's bumpy, it's God. There's a young lady on staff here. Her name is Jessica Longshore. And my wife and I have discipled John and Jess for quite a while. And Jessica works closely with me here. She's like the point guard of Ascent. So we have a school here called Ascent. We have Ascent Online. And right now we're developing what it's going to look like to build out Ascent on college campuses all over America. And we're going to start with Clemson University. Here, I know this not prophetically. I know this from experience. As I lead Jess, it's a podcast for leaders, I know up front, it's going to be bumpy the whole way. You're going to knit the sweater as you walk. There's going to be seven things that happen that we didn't see coming. And instead of wigging out about that, which I'm not saying she is, she's actually comfortable in the chaos. I'm simply saying it's predictable. Mm-hmm. Once you're vulnerable with the Father and you say, I want to be real with you. I want to connect with you and others. I want to take my fig leaves off. Then he will woo you into testing. He is the testing God, Andy.
Yes.
What biblical passage comes to mind when you think of this testing, loving Father? What passages jump up at you that really show leaders how this works? Anything come to mind?
Well, obviously the temptations that happened straight after his baptism, we've talked about that. But then if you take that further, he then goes back home and reads from the prophet Isaiah, says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Lord's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And shortly after that, they get really offended because they realize that actually he's come not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And this is him enacting this whole problem. Who does he think he is coming back home and saying all of this stuff? And it says they take him up a hill and they're going to throw him off. Thank you, loving Father. I read the prophecy about me. That's my home.
It's predictable, isn't it? I want to hunker down back on vulnerability for a few minutes here. Let's really narrow in on this thing. Your son came to you with revelation months ago, this calendar year during COVID. What a year, by the way.
Yes.
What a year. I need to see the terms and conditions of 2021 before right. I participate. 2020, Kayla comes to you before COVID and says, Dad, the Father went looking for Adam in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't go looking for Adam and Eve. And I told you, I said, Andy, I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
What's going on with Adam? Where are you? The hiding piece from the biblical passage itself. What do you think drove them to hide? And what's the significance in leadership of God looking for Adam?
Yeah. So what drives them to hide is their shame. They realized that they were naked, and so they hid. They were trying to work out, what have I done? Have I broken this relationship? How's this going to work? And actually the Father comes towards them to draw them out of where they are. And I believe that he was looking for restoration at that point. Adam, of course, is looking to pass it off to someone else. So he's blaming both Eve and saying, it was the woman and also God that you gave me. So rather than taking responsibility for being there and for being obedient and for following the Father, he actually denied it. That's not going to go well for how we build trust, how we build relationship. And I believe it was through tears that he was ushered out of the garden after the Father had covered him.
I did too.
And I think that's the heart of the Father, that he wants to be our covering. He wants to be the one who helps us feel safe in him.
He made them garments.
Yes.
He's not coming to smoke Adam and Eve there.
Yes.
But he does have high expectations on those he's called to lead. And it's obvious from Ephesians 5:5 and then in Genesis 1 and 2, he called Adam to lead Eve.
Yes.
So this is not a podcast today on marriages, but it is a podcast on leadership.
Yep.
I can tell you this, it helps me want to be vulnerable with that same God, knowing he's not coming to smoke me, but he is coming to hold me accountable to his expectations.
Yes.
Let's talk about, for a leader, let's talk about practically, and we'll end it here. Someone, let's just say, lead pastor of a church, maybe associate pastor, youth pastor, leader in the marketplace, listening to this podcast, they really want to help other leaders around them grow in vulnerability in that first step. Let me tell you what I believe my first step is, and then I want you to take it from there. If you're going to lead someone else in vulnerability, it's impossible to lead your organization, your sphere of influence and vulnerability, if you're not walking in it.
Yes.
So the first thing to do is look in the mirror, not to beat yourself up or self-cut emotionally, but just honestly ask yourself and then ask a couple of people in your life that you trust, do you believe I live in a state of vulnerability? Mm-hmm. And then be okay if they either giggle at you or say no or just give you some answer that you didn't see coming.
Yeah.
Because we all have blind spots.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is first step in leading out someone else in vulnerability, organization vulnerability, you better be in vulnerability.
Yes.
Towards the end of Michael Brody White's book, that he's a former addict, he's a recovering addict that leads organization in vulnerability. I read his book. He said that he didn't know that he actually had a blind spot, that what he was teaching, he actually wasn't doing as well as he once did. Vulnerability is something every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can, Andy, choose to hide every day if I want to.
Yes.
For me, one of the things that's just really come at me hard from the enemy is my own self-image towards myself, my body, who I am, almost like a sense of pity or worthlessness, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know how it started. Who cares? I'm tired of, I know the answer. Answer is Jesus. He gives me great worth. But my point is this, it even rears its head a couple of times a year. And you say, well, I should be over that. Well, maybe the power of AA is you just admit where you're not and God's grace hits you. I think we have to help leaders learn themselves to live from vulnerability, because a lot of people hide behind their job in the marketplace.
Yeah.
If that's step one, what would you say is another just practical step for a leader helping someone they're leading step into vulnerability?
Well, I think the leader gets to set the culture. So that's why it's so important that if you're wanting someone else to be vulnerable, that actually you're showing them your own vulnerability. So by you speaking out, this is where I'm struggling, it actually gives them permission to say, this is where I'm struggling. We can't expect others to just reveal their hardest things if we haven't set a culture that's safe for them to do that.
Yeah.
And partly you being a leader that is being vulnerable is setting a cultural safety of it's okay to not be perfect. That's a big deal, because a lot of people think, okay, at this level, I've got to have this level of perfection. And what it causes is a bunch of people who are wearing masks. They're not really being real. How are you? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. And they're not actually dealing with any of the issues in their lives, because the whole culture exists of, well, we really should be fine by now. And you're not really doing reality. That's what the Father wants us to get real. The truth sets you free. So there's something about coming out of this place of hiding, lies, all of those things that actually brings you to a place where you can be honest about, this is where I'm struggling. And if you're in a safe environment where the goal's not vulnerability, the goal's transformation. So it's not just about, oh, look, everybody got to share, this is where I'm struggling. Actually, what happens in the midst of that is people say, okay, this is where I am, but I am going to take a step forward along with my brothers and sisters who are also taking step forward into believing what the Father says about them.
Do you know if you're professing vulnerability but there's no transformation, it won't take but a few months and people won't take you serious anymore? I've noticed over the years of people I've led, whenever they preface a sentence with, I want to have a vulnerable moment here, you've already showed your cards, because vulnerability is not something you talk about. You just live a vulnerable lifestyle. And if my vulnerability is not drawing on a level of grace that empowers me to a higher place of character, power, then it's not vulnerability. I love what Ira McManus said one time. He said, if vulnerability was the goal, then we would just celebrate all inmates in prison. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I killed him. Yeah, I killed her. Yeah, I committed this crime. Transformation is the goal. I'll end here. What I'm trying to say is Paul boasted in his weakness. That's pretty vulnerable, Andy.
Yeah.
So what happened when he boasted in his weakness? Of power hit him and he was able to accomplish things on the other side of vulnerability that you don't get when you're closed up. So perhaps today you need to ask, are you hiding? Are you hiding from God? You know, you can be anointed and still be hiding from God. A lot of lead pastors are some of the most insecure, lonely, isolated people I've ever known. Don't do that. Don't go there anymore. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would take this conversation seriously, evaluate where you are in your own vulnerability, and perhaps you'll find a level of grace hitting you in your sphere of influence that you're currently not seeing. Be at peace. God bless.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com for epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.